Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Transformation Cafe. As always, it's Transformational Tuesday. Woohoo! We're so happy about that. And like normal, we've got a couple of our regular diners scooting at the table, and we've got a special guest chef in the house. So, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Oh, Mr. Jamie, he's doing A-OK up here in Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, and what's the beautiful weather in Seattle tonight?
It's not raining.
Okay, I guess that's a good change for you guys. You've been complaining about the rain lately. It's finally decided. I heard we're having an El Nino weather winter, which means we're going to be wetter this year. So I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway. Yeah, they're talking about
more.
We'll take
some of that rain down here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, our guest chef, Ted Pena, is chiming in. Yes, we definitely need it because they've been crying about drought conditions down here in Southern California. We'll take it. But we always have to be careful with that. It's a matter of having it being gentle rain that the land can take it a little at a time. You know how that goes. And Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am just doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking.
Yes, and thank you so much for joining us. How is it in beautiful San Diego?
Nice and quiet for the moment.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes Gloria, she kind of lives over where the airplanes like to come and do a little airplane show, so hopefully they'll be quiet tonight, but that's okay. Mr. Ted Pena has joined us back on show 223, and we were talking about the seven pillars of optimal health, and had such a great conversation with you, Ted. We just totally wanted to get him back on again, and we're going to go ahead and really get into taking each one of these apart and really looking at them, because I think there's a lot of benefit from all this stuff. And, you know, a half hour just isn't enough time to be talking about this kinds of stuff. So, hi, Ted. How are you doing?
Robin, great. How are you tonight?
I am great. I'm great. I'm looking forward to starting to walk into all this kinds of stuff. So, just to get a little bit of a background on this, just in case somebody is joining us for the first time and doesn't necessarily know you or the pillars and how you got started in that, can we get kind of a review for everybody real quick?
Well, sure. The seven pillars. I wish I could tell you I dreamt up the seven pillars overnight and wrote them all down, and everything was all nice and tidy over a short period of time. But quite frankly, this has been a life's work, and a life's work of just observing people, not just patients that I see, but watching family members. And like we talked about on the last show, on how National Geographic compiled information on some of the healthiest long-lived people on Earth came from the three areas of Sardinia and then Okinawa, Japan, and right here at Loma Linda. And what I found interesting is that these communities that are healthy and strong and vibrant all share a few things in common. And that is pretty much the bulk of the seven pillars of optimal health. And this is the information, this is the foundation on which I build my practice and share with our patients, and quite frankly, want to get this message out to as many people as possible, because way too many people are suffering needlessly, and there's things that they can do now to really change their lives. As far as the seven pillars, starting with the number one, and this is in no order of importance, pillar number one is time. Number two is movement. Number three is healthy fuel or healthy food. Pillar number four is the mental, spiritual, and social health. I may be renaming that one to simply relationships. Relationships with
That's
yourself,
fine.
Relationships with others, and relationships with our Maker, with God. Pillar number five, sleep and rest. Pillar number six, natural health care, chiropractic care, the being your own doctor, if you will, as well as having amazing, wonderful Western doctors as well, that we need to embrace it all. And number seven is choice. Ultimately, the choice is in your own hands, and we need to act on those choices as soon as you can. And no need to wait, which leads me to time. I mean, I believe we're going to talk about time, right?
Yes, we are. We're talking about that first pillar, and it is time. So it's time to talk about time.
It is time. It is the time to talk about time. Well, let's talk about time.
It's the time to talk about time. Well, really, we're talking about the now. I love how you just kind of said that before. It's being in the moment. And I mean, you know, everybody hears about that. Like, what does that mean, being in the moment kind of thing? But it's being able to be just present with what's going on right now, not getting caught up in the past or the future, and to an extent that, you know, it really helps you to be in a place where you can appreciate what you have right here in front of you. And you know, a part of that goes into all the other pillars as well, because if you can come from a level of the consciousness of seeing what you have right here and knowing that what we're talking about is just all the different ways that, you know, you can utilize time, that it can really benefit you, benefit you in really extraordinary and amazing ways. So,
no doubt.
Just, like, jump off from that.
Living in the now, probably one of the best ways that I can describe that would be describing what it isn't. Living in the now is not thinking backwards and thinking about both failed goals as well as accomplishments. Well, it's all in the past. And I'm just as guilty as anyone else. I'm sure my wife can tell you. Sometimes I'll think, you know, kind of kick myself in the head about maybe a business deal that didn't go as good as I thought it should, or boy, I wish it would have been a better outcome. But when you're thinking about the past, whether it's good or bad, you're robbing yourself of right now. And on the flip side of that is another thing, what living in the now isn't, is living way out in the future. Granted, it's important to plan and to have a hopeful outlook on what's to come. But if you spend all your time in the future, well, what have you just lost? Living in the now. So I think it's just having a nice balance between learning from your past and having some goals for the future, but both of which, are best done if you're living right now. And that's where time comes in, because that's something that we all have the equal amount of every day. You have 24 hours. I have 24 hours. Everyone has the same 24 hours of the globe. So it's really important to look at time as an asset, because if we don't make the best use of that time right now, well, once time is gone, well, it's gone, and you can't get it back. And we need to really focus, as you said, you know, living in the now.
So what do you want people to really walk away with from the show about just the concept of why time is so important to understand it?
Well, you know, speaking of time, the best way to answer that question is that, you know, since the last show, I've been through quite a whirlwind at home. With my wife, she got ill, and thankfully she is healing now and doing great. But really, what I want people to take away from the show is to learn from a friend of mine, and his name is Paul. And Paul posted on Facebook, and he gave me permission to share this, on October 17th. This is what I want people to take from today. I want them to learn from Paul. And this is what Paul wrote on October 17th. This is a guy that I've known since I was a teenager, and he's been having some really serious health issues, and I'd like to spend some time talking about that because it has everything to do with time. Paul wrote, "This is what I got to do tomorrow morning," and there's a picture of him hooked up to dialysis. He writes, "God, I hate it. Please, family and friends, take care of yourself so you don't end up like me," period. And I was so moved, because what you need to know about Paul, he's one of the kindest, friendly, just the kind of friend that will not only be there for you, but the kind that will be there for a stranger and doesn't make a big fuss about it and doesn't boast in his good deed. And to know that he's, and I've lost touch with him over the years, and like most people my age now, like Facebook has been a way to, you know, come across people you haven't talked to in years. To see in the condition that he's in is just shocking, that his life has just radically changed. So that's what I want people to take away from the show, that they could learn from what Paul has had to go through so that people listening to the show can make the best use of their time so they can live a healthy and better life. So if it's okay with you, I spent some time with Paul talking about what he went through and how he ended up where he's at, because unfortunately it was all coming down to lifestyle choices and poor choices at that sadly I think a lot of us do if we're not careful. And sadly, I know when we talked about time last time, we want to look at time as being an asset, use it to your advantage. But sometimes, especially like in Paul's case, time ran out for him. And, I mean, he's still mm-hmm. alive, but there's organs of his body that have shut down. And I'd like to spend just a little bit of time on that, if just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to share Paul's story, and we'll tie this all in with time, because it's all about time. Here's what I know about Paul. Like I said, he was just a friendly, jovial young man and wouldn't harm a fly. And he chose a career in truck driving. And let me say this, long-haul truck driving is one of the most challenging careers in many ways, especially when it comes to trying to maintain good health. Well, over the years, he spent lots of time on the road, so he would end up eating hamburgers, French fries, and lots of Pepsi. That was his go-to drink, if you will, because he didn't smoke, didn't do drugs, didn't drink alcohol, but he drank lots of Pepsi. He's a self-described Pepsi-holic, and he knew he had a trouble with drinking too much Pepsi just a few years ago, because he would drink so much of it to try to keep him up on his long hauls, that he needed to drink Pepsi to even go to sleep. And he realized he had a serious problem with drinking soda when he said he woke up from a dead sleep with just a terrible headache and just a real craving for Pepsi. So he got up out of bed, went to AMPM, got a 32-ouncer of Pepsi, and he drank it by the time he got home, and he went right back to sleep. And waking up the next morning, realized, wow, did I just do that? And he knew that he had a weight problem, and quite frankly, he was scared to death of ultimately dying with a heart attack. Now, my first thought would be, you know, when you're scared of having a heart attack to the point where you think you're going to die from having one, for some people, they would use that as leverage to motivate them to maybe make better choices. But my friend Paul decided to do something else. He decided that, well, if I'm going to go out dying of a heart attack, well, then I'm just going to go out, you know, just in style. So he decided to even drink more Pepsi and drink and eat more junk food. And because the biggest thing that he was afraid of is if he were to have a heart attack and survive, but his health wouldn't allow him to enjoy the things that he likes to do, like jet skiing and hanging out with friends. But ironically, that he ended up not having a heart attack. He ended up getting diabetes. He first had his feet would go numb. He would ignore that. And then one day he described how he was driving into work, and he lost his vision, and it got really bad. He ended up at the hospital, only to wake up the next morning with the doctors telling them, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we have you stabilized. Bad news is your kidneys are shut down and you need a kidney transplant. And you're going to need to be on dialysis for the rest of your life. And he's only 53 years old, mind you. And the sad thing is, this is now his lot. this is now his life. He was just, he's bound at home. He's not able to do the things that he enjoys, and he's really suffering. So when I read this post on Facebook, I was moved and spent probably about 45 minutes, an hour, just listening to his story. And I promised him, well, I can assure you, we're going to get the word out, because, again, I've spent my career as a chiropractor and a natural health doctor trying to tell others that they can make choices that will change their life, help them heal for the better for years to come. But you don't want to wait too long, because once your body starts shutting down, it's really difficult to get your health back outside of a miracle. So that's really, Paul's story. Of course, there's more details to his story, but if we just all keep Paul in our thoughts and prayers, I'm holding out that he's on a kidney transplant list. So we're all hoping and praying that he's able to get a new set of kidneys. He's already made some radical lifestyle choices. He's eating better, and he's definitely not drinking Pepsi anymore. But the poor guy's suffering, and this is, let's just say, it's been a motivator for me to help get the word out in any way I can. So I thought it'd be perfect to talk a little bit about it tonight.
Well, thank you. I think that's exactly what, that's what this all is all about, is, education is power. Knowledge is power. So when it comes to that, whether it's a challenge we have with ourselves or with someone that we love, it's always, a little bit of knowledge of being able to be that cheerleader for somebody to just say, hey, do you want to have supportive habits or depleting habits? So what kind of, motivation do we want to be putting out there for people to know? And we were sharing last show too about, some of these changes don't have to be radical. We have a situation here where, other choices have been made that were depleting the body of what it needed. But, little changes can definitely do radical stuff, because, you radically start changing, getting exercise, changing the way you eat, reducing stress in your body and things like that. People who do have diabetes, they can turn that totally around and just not even have it as an issue anymore when they're willing to totally, let a lot of those bad habits go away so that they can basically be supporting the system. So that's something that's really important for people to know. Yeah.
You hit it right on.
Same thing with water. Water is such an important thing to have on there too. It's almost like water itself should be a pillar, because, dehydration is such a problem.
It is one of the pillars. It's part of the pillar of what you put into your body, healthy food. But, hey, that's for another show.
Okay,
right?
So food and water is one of the pillars. Okay. Well, you said food.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. But I'll tell you, as far as making little changes, that makes all the difference in the world. And that's one of the things I was talking to Paul about, because it's so tragic that if he would have made a few better choices a few years ago, maybe start replacing the Pepsi with water. I bet you there's no way. I'm sure his kidneys, though they may not be perfect, they would be working. If he would have made some choices of maybe getting a little bit of exercise in between shifts, in between jobs, I think he'd be in a lot better place. I think if he would have maybe brought some food, like real food, fruits, vegetables, along with him on his long hauls, he would be a lot healthier than he is right now. And
have you ever heard of that? Go ahead.
No, just if you would have made those choices, he'd be in a lot better place.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Whole Food Trucker?
The Whole Food, what was that? Truckers?
The Whole Food Trucker. Uh-huh.
The
Whole Food Trucker. The Whole Food Trucker, this is a few years ago, he had all kinds of problems. He had high blood pressure, had diabetes, had all these different issues going on. And he started, watching YouTubes of all these people that were juicing. And he decided that he was going to go ahead and do a detox program while he was, doing his trucking work. And he got it down to a science where he had this super long extension cord, and he would go to the park and he would plug in his juicer and he'd make enough juice for himself for like 3 or 4 days, put it in an ice chest. And, he started making it to where, all the different produce stands and stuff like that knew he was going to be coming through. He would stop and get his produce And within about a year, he gotten off all of his high blood pressure. He had reversed his diabetes, and he just started being a model that, you just make these really radical choices and changes in your life, and you can change your body around.
I don't think I've heard of that, but what comes to mind is...
If you go on YouTube and just put Whole Food Trucker, there's videos on him. Yeah.
I'll check that out, because what I'm thinking of is fat, sick, and nearly dead. I don't think he was just through a juicer.
Well, that's Joe Cross. And Joe had the same situation, too, where he had his friend, when he was doing his documentary, he ran into Phil. And Phil is the guy that was in Winslow, Arizona, that had the same skin condition that he did. And,
okay. Yes. I've heard of the Whole Food Trucker. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me.
He's not the same guy. That's not the same guy. So Phil and this other guy aren't the same. No. But it's just, there's a lot of conversations going on, a lot of changing. And I really feel for all those truckers out there. Like you're saying, it's one of the hardest occupations to try to, have a healthy lifestyle. Well, and part of it could be truck stands and all these other guys, start making it to where these guys can have different choices. Be good for the industry if they started having, like salad bars and stuff instead of having it where they just had all the grease food, it would be great for them as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so that's just really going on there. So with time, what other things do we have going on with time? Would you put meditation and things like that in there? Just kind of like being with yourself in the moment, or would that be something that would be more for the mental and spiritual and social relationship with yourself?
Well, like I talked about on the first show, many of these pillars intermingle with each other, and that would be definitely a topic that would combine pillar number one with pillar number four as far as meditation. But that brings up the point of not only quantity of time, but the quality of your time that you spend improving your health. For example, if you are really busy at work and you don't have an hour break in front of you, but let's say maybe you have 5 minutes, boy, how much you can get out of meditating for a few minutes or getting up doing some stretches. I teach my patients yoga poses to do every half hour to get up out of the chair and stretch. It makes all the difference in the world, and there's research to support this. As you know, sitting, whether you're a trucker or in front of a computer all day, is one of the worst things that you could do for your spine, but not just your spine, but for your heart. This is well documented, but what is also documented that if you get up every 20 minutes, 25 minutes to stretch for 30 seconds, a minute, it changes the whole outlook. It changes your physiology, and the chances of you developing those diseases are reduced just by getting up every 20 minutes, every half hour. So, that's where you can use time as your friend, whether you use those small increments of time to meditate or stretch or just get up out of the chair and take a little walk around the building where you work. That will make a huge difference when you break things up. I guess that would also fit in with pillar number five, which would be sleep and rest, that you need to have these little breaks to get your body focused and balanced. And that's really what it comes down to is having balance, and especially balance with your time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, I was looking at the just different aspects of time, and one thing that came up for me was that, looking at, say, a 24-hour day, and then all the things that you did do and all the things that you didn't do really help you to be connected to really knowing where your focus and your power and your intention is and being able to create things. So it's just like, it's almost like, taking the time to even maybe to do a little bit of journaling as just kind of a place of reflection for yourself. Or setting a list of goals or something that you want to make the, because they say it's not good to do more than three things because your body goes, what? I can't do that. I can't do 16 things. Unless you're it's always amazing. When you go on vacation and you've got this huge list and you have one day to do it and then you're going to be gone. It's amazing how much you can get done in a day. I don't know. It always amazes me.
I just had a friend, from our networking group. She just came back from her European vacation where she hiked for 3 weeks. And, boy, she said, boy, that first week, that was wonderful. But by week two and a half, three, she was ready to come back home because they were, I don't know, they hit so many countries that there's just so much to do that it's overwhelming for the body and mind. Another place that we can here in Southern California or anywhere where you commute is the university that is in your car, the time that you spend commuting, driving. For the heck of it, this morning I went ahead and timed how much time I was in the car, and it came out to an hour and like 33 minutes that I spent driving to our meeting, then going to see some patients, running a few errands, and then back home. I mean, that's an hour and a half. I mean, that's a long time. So it's really important to make good use of that time, whether it be listening to music that inspires you, or you listening to a CD or some kind of a tape, where a tape. Oh my gosh, I'm dating myself. But you listen to something that will inspire you, that you can learn, and then quite frankly, you know, earn a college degree in your car if you use that time wisely, as opposed to being upset by being cut off or being late to an appointment. So that's another way. Yes.
I've heard if you study something for 30 minutes a day, in 2 years, you're an expert. Which makes sense.
Yeah, that's all.
Think about that. 30 minutes a day. Well, that's like every day. 30 minutes a day for 2 years, you're considered an expert because you're studying that thing in such an intent way.
Hey, if it's more than most people on a given subject, then you can call yourself an expert.
I think so.
Do your time. I have no problem with that. That makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Surprise me one day.
Exactly. Yeah.
It depends your
disc or your tape. You get your download going on there. It's all good. Your downloads. You get your download on there.
Right.
Yeah. It's so funny what they call stuff. It's like, the download of the, anyway. It's just very, very interesting.
Yeah, downloads. That's what I meant to say. Listen to your downloads in your car.
Downloads. Right.
Exactly.
Right. And I would think, too, when it comes to time, really looking at just the pain factor, because I know just being a chiropractor, I'm sure that that's really a component that your patients can really relate to when it comes to levels of time and then just the level of quality time as opposed to pain and non-pain.
Oh, okay. You know, I missed what you said there at the beginning. You said time as far as in pain?
Well, just people being in pain,
Well,
and having it where they can
really changes when you're in pain. I mean, it changes quick. I'll tell you, when you're in pain, patients really get motivated to do whatever it takes. They're compliant. They make their appointment. Boy, I mean, they are there. However, when the pain starts to subside and they're feeling normal again, that's when we're tempted to, maybe I'll skip today's appointment, or maybe it's not as important to do that workout, or maybe it's not as important to eat that healthy food, and we lose track. But, the time or pain is a great way to get leverage on yourself or getting to a goal that you set for yourself regarding your health or, for that matter, anything. But I see it all the time. When patients are in pain, it's like, man, you got to be available now and do the very best we can. However, I have patients, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying this, but it's what I have patients that I call lifetime new patients. And what I mean by that is they'll come in and maybe want me to come in on a Saturday because they're hurting. Usually it's from something that they know they could have prevented, but we'll take care of them, or maybe we'll stay late hours, or maybe we'll stay over lunch to take care of them, and so we'll spend extra time with them, and then as soon as they're starting to feel better, we're reminding them that not just the additional chiropractic visits, but to exercise, stretch, eat right, they forget to do that, and then they drop out of sight, and I don't see them for 2 or 3 years until they're in pain again. Then we do this whole process all over again. They become what I call lifetime new patients. They never make the commitment to improving their health to prevent the problem that is causing their symptoms in the first place. And
right.
we do our very best to continue to make ourselves available for them, because that is one of the goals of our office, is to offer pain relief for patients without drugs and surgery. However, that's not the thing that really gets me up in the morning and excited to go to work. I'm a sucker for any patient, any person that's motivated to get well and stay well. And I'm so grateful that we have a long list of patients who have made that commitment, that they choose chiropractic not just to pain, but they choose what I call a chiropractic lifestyle that encompasses the pillars to prevent not just back problems, but more importantly, to prevent heart disease, to prevent some cancers, to prevent diabetes. The list is long, simply just to live a better life. That's really
right. better life.
Stuff that, oh man, no doubt, to live a better life.
Well, Mr. Ted, yes. Pena, Pain Begone, what's a good way for people to get a hold of you if somebody wants to take a little time and be able to get to know you and be able to be implementing some of these pillars for themselves?
Well, quick and easy is always, they can go online to drpena.com. That's drpena.com. Of course, they can always call me at the office at 951-276-2838. But I think drpena.com is pretty easy to remember. And that's mm-hmm. That's how they can get a hold of me. Or they could call
okay.
you.
Okay.
You know how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, they can go ahead and leave a message at thetransformation-cafe.com. We'll have a place for comments. And if you have any questions or anything that you'd like to comment about with the different things on this first pillar, we'd really appreciate anything that you have to say on that. And be checking out our online store as well. There will be some things on there for just some of the things that are going to be supporting all the different pillars. So take advantage of that as well for just the different things of, like I always think I'm pretty strong in these three categories, but this one I really need to be working on. So it's being diligent and being supportive to the habits that you know are going to be helping you in the long run to just have a real healthy and wonderful life. It's like the picture of that Time magazine that it was 105 or something like that, I think, wasn't it? Something like that. It's standing on its head.
But, oh, yeah, that's right. That,
yeah, yeah.
That was the one.
105 standing on its head. So there you go.
That's the article. That's the one. And you hit
that's
right
the
on
article.
The Oops,
and if you go to episode 223, there's actually a picture on there that's got a connection to the original article that we've got there from that show. We were able to pull that up and have it in the archives. So it's something else
awesome.
To be able to look at. So, thank you, Mr. Ted.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Robin.
Okay. And thank Jamie and Glory for hanging out here at the cafe. And we will see you next time. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.